540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The leaders of Russia and North Korea have just wrapped up more than 4 hours of talks at a satellite launch center in Siberia. Reporter Alex Jensen has details from Seoul.
In an apparent reference to Russia's war in Ukraine, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un vowed to back Moscow's sacred fight as he met Russian President Vladimir Putin at a rocket launch facility in Siberia. Their summit also marks Kim's return to international diplomacy after a four-year hiatus.
Video shows Putin toasting Kim at a lunch that included duck and fig salad and crab dumplings. State TV says the North Korean leader is on his way home now. The devastation grows in Libya. Rescuers carrying people away from floodwaters that have destroyed a quarter of the coastal city of Derna and left bodies lying in the streets. The death toll is nearing 5,000. The BBC's Anna Foster.
Pictures from eastern Libya show torrents of water rushing through streets, submerging cars and leaving a trail of devastation. Storm Daniel brought three quarters of the usual rainfall in a year, in just 24 hours. In a country without a single overarching functioning government, accurate information is hard to come by.
New Englanders are bracing for Hurricane Lee's possible landfall there. It's already churning up high waves and dangerous rip currents up and down the East Coast. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren is tracking the system.
At this point, Boston and the Cape now out of the cone, but not necessarily out of the woods just yet. A farther west track would mean some heavy rain, strong winds, also the coastal flooding and some very large waves.
In Washington, Speaker Kevin McCarthy is facing pushback from some members of his own party after directing the House to open an impeachment inquiry into President Biden over his family's business dealings. Republican Ken Buck tells MSNBC.
I'm going to get a briefing later in the week on what evidence links President, at the time Vice President Joe Biden, to Hunter Biden's activities. I haven't seen that link yet, and so I'm reluctant to agree with Speaker McCarthy.
Reach for a pill when you've got a cold. The government says it doesn't help. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The experts say new studies show oral phenylephrine was no better than a placebo at relieving congestion. The ingredient is used in Dayquil, Sudafed, and most other cold and allergy pills.
Experts say nasal sprays that contain phenylephrine can be effective. S&P futures are down 23. Dow futures off 27. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Bread delicious, honey crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee.
From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you are fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
Devek.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine. wrapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 13th, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening, along the Civic Media Radio Network or by podcast, through the Civic Media app, social media, and more. Nice to have you here in the state of Wisconsin Sense, where we unpack the news each morning. Here's what's on tap this morning. Well, I don't know how else to put this other than it is, in all my time watching politics, and I've seen policy reversals in the past, but I would dare call this the most epic and disingenuous flip-flop you might ever see out of the Wisconsin State Capitol. For 12 years, Republicans have drawn their own legislative districts, and they have rejected every suggestion to reform the process that has given us the most gerrymandered maps in the country. But now, facing a state Supreme Court under progressive control, Republican leaders said yesterday they had seen the light, and they are ready to allow a nonpartisan legislative staffing group to draw maps for 2024. A, who believes them? B, who trusts them? Also, in Congress, Republicans there are moving closer to impeaching President Joe Biden for... I'm going to have to keep a cricket sound effect handy because we still don't know what's driving this. There's no evidence of anything. We'll also have our weekly climate check segment that is looking at the climate change impact on tourism around the world and its possible Wisconsin impact as well. In our second hour, we're looking to talk to Tara Johnson, the longtime former chair of the La Crosse County Board, who last week jumped into the race for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, looking to replace Republican first-term incumbent Derek Van Orden. And legislative Republicans yesterday moved closer to passing warmed-over versions of their already rejected ideas for child care and for a tax cut geared toward the very wealthy. Plus, Todd Albo will be here to tell us about what's happening on his conveniently named show this afternoon from 1 to 3. I think if I ever get the Pat Breitlow show, I'm just going to change it to the conveniently named show. The weatherology forecast from Jennifer Vucicki is coming up. And along the way, if you have questions, if you have comments, things you want to share with the statewide audience, you ring us up at 844-967-2789. We don't get a lot of callers at 6:09 in the morning. There's a lot of frogs in people's throats and things. And so, you know, just get it out of your system before you dial. Give that and then let us know what's on your mind. We'd love to hear it. 844-967-2789. You can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or leave a comment on Facebook on one of the several pages, or you can catch the live video feed of this little radio show. But right now, it's time to head down to the Civic Media Control Center in Madison, where we find Sam Davison and Aaron Zommers lurking. Aaron is especially lurking in this little tiny piece of the corner, because as we've had to note several times, and at some point somebody will listen, the camera there is pointed in a weird direction. Sam, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. Aaron, I know you're around there. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, okay. There he is.
I don't need to
the
do
thing
any
is,
of
the... I'm sure you're sitting comfortably. I'm sure you're comfortable. It's just the camera angle makes it look like you're like squished way in a corner someplace and that we should worry about your well-being. But you're okay. It's just the camera, right?
Yeah, it's just the camera's mounted on a computer monitor that's way up in the corner. So there's only so much you can do with that to fit two people in it.
I'm going to be down there in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to set aside some time just for this to, we got to get this resolved once and for all, because you and Sam and all the producers are an integral part of all of our programming. And, you know, if I can have the camera the way I want it, well, because I'm at home, I mean, you guys should be able to too. Or do you think the worry is that you guys are going to be camera hogs? You won't focus on all the buttons and switches you got to be playing with down there?
You know, I would think that maybe that's the worry if we had a like decent host camera too, and that like only this one was bad. But
that's true. The host camera down there in the studio, yes, it definitely needs some help as well. 6 a.m. temperatures around the state include 43 degrees here on Lake Wissota, 51 down there in Madison where the guys are, 50 in Waukesha. La Crosse is at 50 as well. Minocqua, you're at 45. Wisconsin Rapids is at 45. Green Bay, 51. And the cool spot from my review of cities where you could listen to Civic Media radio stations, well, that would be Amory. It's 36 degrees right now in Amory. So if you're catching us on the radio and you have to get kids ready for the bus stop, here's a little reminder that even though it's going to be nice today, it's going to be sunny by and large, I think. We're going to hear from Weatherology coming up. It's going to be an extremely pleasant day. But we're at that time of year now where the mornings start off especially cool to cold. So don't forget to send the kids with a jacket. And trust me, I've been there. I feel you. You're saying, I don't have a jacket to put on Johnny because Johnny left his jacket at school yesterday, which is completely understandable, again, when it's nice out in the afternoons. But, you know, it's on the parents, like, okay, what's the next best thing? Here's your sweater. Here's your fleece. Here's whatever. So be sure you send that along. And eventually, he's going to come back with a very full backpack. Our newsletter is out. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. If you get our daily newsletter today, for example, you are getting, among all the stories, my column on the real world impacts of a government shutdown. And we do appear to be tracking that way, the way Republicans in the House of Representatives are behaving out in Washington. And it's going to affect real folks. It's going to have an effect on businesses who are not necessarily associated with the government, but the ripple effects are strong. So you can find that in our newsletter. Sign up on our homepage. Let's take a break here, and then we'll unpack the news right after this break. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me.
Now, I'm going to admit, I did not know Mel Torme very well as a singer, but more in his later years, he was like the comedic foil on the original version of Night Court. Remember that Judge Harry Stone had as much a man crush on Mel Torme as some of us have on Frank Sinatra. Mel Torme was born this day in 1925, 98 years ago. He passed away back in 1999, and we will have more from today's history lesson and music break coming up in just a bit. Time for sports now at 6:16. Josh Donaldson, who was acquired recently by the Brewers, homered for the first time with his new team, and Freddie Peralta turned in another stellar outing as the Milwaukee Brewers downed the Miami Marlins 3-1 on Tuesday night. Peralta gave up just one run on two hits in 6 1/3 innings, didn't walk a batter. He threw 95 pitches and 67 of them were for strikes. And so for him to take a start into the seventh inning, and then you had Brad Woodruff's complete game shutout, and then you had Corbin Burnes throwing 8 no-hit innings, that's exactly the kind of relief that the relief pitchers need when you're in this kind of stretch, 17 games in a row without a day off. And so this has been just perfect timing for the starting pitchers to be able to go long. The Brewers are now a season high 18 games above 500, 81 wins, 63 losses. They haven't been at this point since they finished the 2021 season at 18 games above 500. Christian Yelich did miss a fourth consecutive game with some lower back soreness, but Craig Counsell says he is progressing and could be back in the lineup in a day or two. Mark Canha was replaced in the third inning for a pinch hitter, and it said because he has a sore left wrist. They'll play again tonight against Miami and then tomorrow afternoon. Catch those games on Oshkosh Air Support in the Fox Valley and News from the Center in the Richland Center area. All right, let's unpack the news. Again, your comments are welcome at 844-967-2789. You can also text that number as well, or you can call or text us through the Civic Media app. We'd be very happy to hear what's on your mind, especially on our top story here, which is perhaps the most craven, disingenuous flip-flop in Wisconsin political history. It's where Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and several Republican lawmakers gathered in somewhat of a surprise news conference late yesterday and said that they are now endorsing what's called the Iowa-style model of redistricting. Redistricting means they redraw those political boundaries every 10 years for legislative districts and for congressional districts. You do it every 10 years to account for the census and for population shifts. Well, Republicans won total control of state government in 2010. You'll recall that, the Tea Party year. Scott Walker got elected governor. He never said he was going to take away collective bargaining rights from public employees. He dropped that bomb after he was already in office. They never said they were going to have the most gerrymandered and rigged maps in the country, but they did that after they came to office. And conservatives on the state Supreme Court had their back in after both the 2010 census and the 2020 census. But things have changed. The same Republicans who always said that it's just legislators that should draw the maps, especially when they're the ones in control, are now embracing a model that would have one of the legislative service agencies, the support staff, if you will, of the legislature. Have them drop the maps without regard for incumbents or partisan power, but to draw maps as fairly as possible. And that's what Voss and the Republicans said yesterday, that they'd like to see that now. Why would that be? It would be because you, the voter, by a whopping 11-point margin, elected Janet Protasiewicz to the state Supreme Court and ended 15 years of conservative rule over the state Supreme Court, which had politicized so many things over those years in power. It's quite clear now that a brand new challenge to the maps could be successful at the state Supreme Court level, and that the state Supreme Court could draw the new maps, as courts have done many, many times in the past. So faced with the prospect of the four women who make up the progressive majority on the Supreme Court drawing this, Voss and all the Republicans there, the last thing they want to see is four powerful progressive women drawing their lines for them. So now they've seen the light, and now they want this Iowa-style model of redistricting. And needless to say, most people saw through it right away. Before I get to the reaction from Governor Evers and others, I will note this much. The Republicans are not stupid. If there's one thing they know how to play, it's the messaging game. And you can bet your bottom dollar that morning newscasts across Wisconsin this morning and newspapers were all about simply saying Republicans are embracing nonpartisan redistricting. Republicans are trying to look like the good guys embracing nonpartisan map drawing, and they're going to try to make Democrats look like the bad guys going, oh, these activist judges are going to draw our maps for us. Let's take it out of the hands of politicians and let's give it to nonpartisan people and committees to draw up these things. Don't let the progressives get away with that. And some people are going to believe that. They're going to not be able to understand that for 12 years, Republicans rigged the maps in their favor because they had that power, because they could. They want you to think that if progressive jurists, progressive judges were to get involved in drawing the maps, that they would be heavily skewed toward Democrats. They don't want to believe that some people, progressive and conservative, would actually write fair maps, even though that's the way it was done for generations. For many years, it was Dave Obey, congressman from up north on behalf of Democrats, and Tom Petri, congressman from East Central Wisconsin on behalf of the Republicans. They would huddle up together with staff members from both parties, and they would draw maps that were fair and representative of the voters. And sometimes Democrats won more seats, and sometimes Republicans won more seats, because that's how it's supposed to work. That's how responsible people govern. That's what happens when you get adults in the room. But Republican legislators want you to believe that that couldn't possibly happen anymore. And so they're embracing an idea that would have the Legislative Reference Bureau write these maps up. And I will be quick to tell you, the Legislative Reference Bureau, much like the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the Legislative Audit Bureau, these support staffers, they are amazing people. I know from firsthand experience, they try so hard to be nonpartisan or bipartisan as the situation warrants, and they are all about service. But we have seen some troubling signs. Since Republicans took control, we have seen some audits in the past that looked like there was Republican pressure to skew the way that the audit reports were written. And as much as I would like to put complete and total faith in the people who are part of the legislative support staff, you're still talking about a model where Republicans are in control of the legislature and therefore have some control over the legislative staff. As opposed to, say, the Fair Maps Commission that was put together by Governor Tony Evers, you could put together something of an outside group where you would have a couple of Democrats, a couple of Republicans. They together would then have to have a consensus on who would be, say, the fifth member you know, to be a tie-breaking vote and things like that. There are very responsible ways that you could do this if you were serious and sincere about doing it. But as Governor Evers said last night, Republicans are making a last-ditch effort to retain legislative control by having someone legislature picked and legislature approved draw Wisconsin maps, and that, the governor says, is bogus. That's his word. Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area says it's desperate and disingenuous to call for nonpartisan redistricting now after signing secrecy oaths to gerrymander the state in 2011 and fighting tooth and nail to bake their distorted maps into law in 2021. Senator Smith goes on to say, we trust the state Supreme Court to solve the complex constitutional issues related to redistricting and to fix the districts in the meantime. We remain committed to an independent redistricting model that completely removes the decision from the legislature. This legislature cannot be trusted to draw their own maps after more than a decade of serving their own self-interests. And Democratic leader in the Assembly, Greta Neubauer, says, we know that legislative Republicans cannot be trusted with redistricting. This rushed effort, devoid of any time for public input, further shows the GOP's inability to engage in serious conversation on this important issue. And I want to come back to something she just said there. Devoid of any time for public input, because I've left out one of the most important elements. When Speaker Robin Voss announced this late yesterday, on a Tuesday, he said the full assembly is going to vote on this on Thursday, tomorrow. Nobody has seen the bill draft yet, so we don't really know how this idea, how their idea of nonpartisan redistricting would work, who would actually do it. We haven't seen the bill draft, and it won't go to committee first, which means there won't be a public hearing. There won't be a chance for you to see it and weigh in and to either say, hey, Republicans, you actually did a pretty good job here. We can get behind this. Or, hey, we're looking at the exact text of this bill here, and you're still very much controlling the map drawing, and that's not the same. And then the final wrinkle to tell you about is, why are Republicans rushing this? Because they know that if the state Supreme Court throws out the current maps, it's not just the regular elections that we'll have in 2024. We'll have essentially what you'd call a super election. Because right now, the state Senate, because those terms are 4 years long, only half the Senate comes up every other cycle. But if they throw out the maps, then every senator is up for re-election, along with every assembly representative. Everyone, all 132 legislators, all of the Republicans, would have to stand for re-election next year under the new maps. Whereas if they can somehow get a nonpartisan redistricting plan through, then that would probably save at least half of their senators who are in districts that normally would not be up in 2024. Now, of course, Governor Evers is not going to go along with this plan, and the challenge is still going to go through the state Supreme Court, but it really does come down to perception. Will Republicans now be seen as reformers and paint Democrats as activist judges, or will Democrats and progressives rightly take back the mantle of reformers who are finally going to give voters fair maps after 12 years? Let's take a break. Melissa Baldoff is here next with this week's Climate Check. We'll talk about tourism and the EV market out there as well. We'll be back. You're up north. Sing it, Mel.
Under my skin. Under my skin.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. North Korea's dictator is on his way home after a more than four-hour summit with Russia's president in Siberia. Reporter Alex Jensen from Seoul.
Kim Jong-un is certainly committing to his counterpart Vladimir Putin, with the North Korean leader insisting his country's top priority is its relationship with Russia.
Experts say Russia's goal is to get more arms from North Korea to fight the war in Ukraine. Kim's more economic aid from the Kremlin. In Libya, rescuers carrying people away from floodwaters that have devastated the coastal city of Derna. The death toll is nearing 5,000. Sorry to break it to you, cold sufferers. Here's CBS's Danya Backus.
A panel of 16 advisors to the FDA says the leading decongestant used by millions of Americans likely provides no more relief than a placebo pill.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
But we're coming to a town near you, all across the state of Wisconsin.
Mike and Dom kicking it all off in Wausau this Thursday, starting at 4 p.m. Live from Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, 1230 AM, 98.9 FM.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's time to do our weekly climate check. Say, why do you do that? Because this issue is getting big. It's not going away anytime soon. It's affecting so many parts of our lives that we think it's important enough to dedicate a few minutes every week to talk about climate change issues that are in the news. And we have Melissa Baldoff with us every week to kind of guide us through all of that. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you as well. Hey, we're getting to the end of the summer travel season. And a story that caught my attention was about the way that destinations that you typically think of for summer travel are not as popular as they used to be, in part because of, you know, the way the climate changes, the extreme heat,
And I'm not just talking about, you know, a tragic fire in Maui, but, you know, so many other things. This is not something new to you as you kind of look around the globe at the way the, you know, we're seeing record high temperatures and everything else, right?
Right. We are. We're seeing so many impacts in different places. And, you know, we've talked before about the impact to Wisconsin's tourism industry here, which is incredibly important to our local economies. And, you know, we're seeing it other places as well. You know, some of these really popular destinations for summer travel and really for, you know, travel at any time of the year. I don't know very many Wisconsinites who don't welcome any opportunity they can get to escape our winters for somewhere a little more tropical. I know it's always a favorite visit of ours every year to be able to go down to Florida to visit my family, mm-hmm. You know, in the winter and escape that. So, you know, having all of these different places experience different kinds of negative impacts, I think underscores how widespread the issue is, that it's not one type of climate. It's not one type of community. It's not one type of geography that is experiencing negative impacts from climate change. It's everywhere in all different ways, in all different, for all different reasons. And, you know, that's something that's tough for these local economies that rely on the tourism dollars that come in. And it's tough for families who want to be able to get out there and explore, for anyone who wants to get out and explore, to, you know, to not have those same opportunities.
The most prevalent one lately has been record high temperatures. And this report from Axios notes that some of the popular travel spots in Italy, Greece, France, and Spain, their peak tourist traffic time also happens to be the time when they are setting these outrageous high temperatures. And so it's got a direct impact that way on these places. It's maybe moving travel to other places on the calendar. But then there's the indirect ones. We've got this at one point was a category 5 hurricane churning through the Atlantic. It's far enough away that it's not going to come directly on landfall in the U.S., but still just close enough that you're talking about dangerous tides and surf along the East Coast because these storms are getting so much stronger. It makes it so tough to find that place to get away to.
It certainly does. And, you know, it makes it tough and it makes it, you know, it's very uncertain too, because you've got folks who, you know, plan and they save up to have a vacation and then a hurricane comes through or even just comes near enough that people maybe have to cancel their vacation. They have to alter their travel plans and they might be losing money on that. And then obviously the, you know, the communities that rely on those dollars coming in are missing out, even if a storm doesn't hit because they are so unpredictable. And we have seen so many that are, you know, on the one hand, it's good to see that people are taking the threats of these storms seriously, because I think we've all seen the unfortunate, you know, side effect of people not taking a storm seriously. And there's mm-hmm. injury and worse and lots of damage of people and people don't evacuate. So it's on the one hand, it's good people are taking these seriously. But then on the other hand, we're just seeing so many more of them and so many more that are, you know, have the potential to be really deadly and dangerous and harmful, that it's just more disruptive than ever.
Let me bring up one more place that's had a negative impact, and then we're going to talk about some ways that it does lead to some positive impacts for other places. Wisconsin may be one of them. But before I get to that, I also have to note here that in this report, we note that, you know, the world has lost 15% of its coral reefs in the last decade. And it's either losing them or it's the bleaching of the coral reefs. And look, just from a tourism standpoint, of course, that is suboptimal. But when you're talking about the health of the oceans because of these rising temperature levels, that, of course, is massive. And then conversely, away from the tropics, you've got, you know, glaciers that have been reduced in size or in some cases even eliminated. So there's just so much impact. It is just completely undeniable. But what does that mean? Well, it means, according to this report, that people are choosing some typically cooler places. There's Amsterdam, there's Copenhagen. But of course, there's also the opportunity, Melissa, for, you know, the Great Lakes region. I think we're certainly seeing more cruise ships in the Great Lakes than ever before, as people look at one of those few places that hasn't had nearly the severe impact, which is not to say the Great Lakes aren't affected. They most certainly are. But from a global standpoint, we may start seeing more people here as a result.
I think that's absolutely true. And I think that's, you know, all the more reason that it's the right decision for Wisconsin to take all of the action we can, that we have a governor who set out on, you know, to have a task force look at some of these issues and is starting to implement some of the pieces of this climate plan, and that we're seeing so many local communities do the same, because we know that we are going to need to step up. And, you know, it's really important that we have people who are ready to take action and who are, you know, starting to take those steps.
And look, if you are going to see an increase in tourism, and we've mentioned this a couple times before, but it bears repeating, more of those people are going to be bringing, for example, you know, electric vehicles. And so to have that Great Lakes Consortium of EV charging stations to help encourage visitors to the area only underscores the need for essentially a green energy infrastructure plan for Wisconsin's future.
Absolutely. We know that is something that travelers pay attention to when they are making their decisions about where to go. And, you know, it's so important that we are connected to the, you know, the charging network, like you said, with the Great Lakes Consortium, and are really taking the opportunity to implement the funding that Wisconsin will receive from the federal government, from these infrastructure investments, to have a smart charging network across the state that's accessible to everybody, and is going to get people connected to our really popular destinations.
And that might be the way to go, because in part, you can't count on, for example, river cruises. My wife and I were thinking about maybe one of those European river cruises, you know, maybe in a year or two. But I guess, you know, lately, some of them have had to be canceled because of drought conditions have reduced these river levels so much. We've certainly seen that with, you know, the Mississippi in years past, that has gotten so low that some of the paddle boats and other things can't travel as well. So all of these things are having some kind of an impact on tourism. Mostly con, but also pro to a degree in places like Wisconsin that we should be mindful of. The other note that I wanted to talk about this week, which I thought was very interesting here, is the notion of, let's get away from the EVs and let's talk about e-bikes. And a post I saw about how e-bikes are displacing about four times the amount of oil as electric cars. And so consequently, this poster is saying there's really no good reason for communities to wait, that they should be repurposing streets for bikes and e-bikes and incentivizing e-bike adoption. That's honestly something I had not really thought about. I know the importance of green space and bike space, but didn't think of it from the climate perspective of the benefits of an e-bike.
Yeah, I thought that was really fascinating. And, you know, I know that we are seeing more and more people, you know, everywhere and also in Wisconsin using e-bikes. When I worked for Governor Evers, was when he signed legislation on e-bikes, you know, making them legal on state trails. That was, you know, one of the very few pieces of bipartisan legislation. You know, we don't get a whole lot of those, but that was one that was, you know, something that some, you know, folks worked on for quite a while to get past. And, you know, we're seeing people want to use those e-bikes. You know, it's a sustainable and accessible transportation option. You know, it's can be an environmentally friendly way to get to and from work. It can be a really great transit option for people with disabilities. So, you know, we're seeing people get out and explore on the trails that the state has, you know, so I think it's really, you know, something that's growing. And, you know, this idea that we can and should, you know, rethink our streets is also so important and interesting when you think about, you know, how we can approach this in cities as well. You know, anything we can do to get more cars off the road is great for the environment. And it's, you know, it's a safety issue too. It's a public safety issue. You know, we want to slow down cars, get them off the road. It makes it safer for pedestrians. So I think this is a really, you know, interesting and exciting development that we're seeing, that these e-bikes are absolutely a great way to help address the climate crisis, that we can, that we could do, you know, right now, is get more people on these kinds of vehicles.
Right. And we can only build on the benefit from here, because one of these reports from Bloomberg notes that right now, just of the EVs that are out there, they're already displacing 1.5 million barrels of oil per day of all usage, equivalent to about 3% of total road fuel demand. So a difference is being made. And as we say often here, you know, this is a global crisis. There's no single thing, but doing a whole lot of little things can start to make a difference and hopefully, you know, ward off some of the worst of the consequences that we talked about earlier in the segment. Now, will that get me to buy an e-bike next week? Not yet. I'm still considering how coordinated I might be as I, you know, approach my pending elderliness, but I certainly think about it a bit more. And Melissa, you probably see a few e-bikes in your corner of the state more so than I see up here in Chippewa County, maybe.
I definitely do. Definitely see, you know, quite a few e-bikes around the Milwaukee area, and, you know, have seen them as I've traveled, had some travels over the summer with a, you know, just family vacations and a lot of basketball related travel around the Midwest, and have seen folks using e-bikes everywhere we went. So definitely they are becoming a lot more popular.
No doubt about that. Melissa Baldoff, as always, with our weekly climate check. Thanks for the update. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
So in the couple of minutes we've got here before break, and then we'll have today's history lesson and our little music break as well, I'll touch just briefly on the move by House Republicans toward impeaching President Biden. We'll talk a bit more about it at the top of our next hour. And in fact, I think I'll start with reaction to the news from House Speaker Kevin McCarthy of opening up a so-called impeachment inquiry into President Biden, despite the lack of anything, and let me stress again, anything that might provide real evidence of criminal activity. I mean, it's the 2020 election all over again. Anyway, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman was asked about it in the Capitol basement yesterday about the impeachment inquiry. Here was his classic reaction.
About this news that Speaker McCarthy has formally launched an impeachment in, or has said he's going to.
Oh my God, really? Oh my gosh, you know, oh, it's devastating. Ooh, don't do it. Please don't do it. Oh no, oh no.
Oh, that's just so good. Go for it, guys. I mean, yeah, it's going to be disruptive, but it's going to help a lot of people see where your priorities really are compared to the things that you could be doing. We'll talk more about that in our next hour. We're going to talk to our friend Melissa Kay from Homegrown Radio, WFHR, next. You're up north.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 64 today, under mainly cloudy skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 47 tonight, partly cloudy skies, mainly sunny tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 69. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday, with daytime highs approaching 76. 71, chance for scattered storms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Still love that version. I love that version by Whitney Houston of the Star Spangled Banner. Part of this day in history, not Whitney Houston so much, but the song, Welcome Back. This is Up North News Radio. Why do you play the whole thing? Well, first, you get people yell at you if you talk over the Star Spangled Banner. And second, what she did there with the Florida Orchestra before Super Bowl 25 in 1991 was just, you know, flipping amazing. But it was on this day in 1814, during the War of 1812, when the British failed to capture Baltimore, that Francis Scott Key composed his poem, The Defense of Fort McHenry, which was later set to music and became the United States National Anthem. Melissa Kay is here from locally grown radio WFHR. She is every Wednesday to tell us what's happening in central Wisconsin. Melissa, how are you?
Oh, good morning. You know, I don't think anybody can do that song better than Whitney.
No.
I don't think it will ever be done better.
Well, especially since it was done differently. They changed... Oh, Aaron, you might have to help me out. What they changed there? They changed the signature.
The time signature, music? Yeah. It's in 4/4 instead of 3/4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that and multiple key changes that are in there that only she could pull off. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, I'm blanking out on who else helped her compose and produce it. But yeah, just a fabulous rendition that, you know, I'll just still, as it comes up in my playlist, I'll still let it come through because it's so good. What's new in WFHR land? Are we still naming a chicken?
We have officially kicked off the chicken naming contest. So you can head to wiscountry.com/chicken and help us name our WIRI chicken.
I just love that. And I can't wait to see how this
is
going to...
We have great prizes, too. We're excited about that as well.
Oh, fabulous. All right. So if folks want to tune in for that. You know, there's plenty of other good notes here. I mean, Whitney Houston's great, but, you know, Ray Charles, not so bad himself, right? I think he's done okay by himself. He was born this day, 105 years ago, in 1918. Ray Charles was born.
Unchain my heart.
I mean, again, we talk about a voice you can just listen to over and over again. Ray Charles passed away in 2015. On this day in 1948, Margaret Chase Smith is elected United States Senator, becoming the first woman to serve in both the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. On this day in 2008, Hurricane Ike made landfall on the Texas Gulf Coast, causing heavy damage to Galveston Island, Houston, and surrounding areas. Funny story, my half-sister had just moved to Houston like a couple of days earlier. Seriously, from Wisconsin. Had to be evacuated, you know, by boat from their apartment complex. Yeah, didn't make a great impression on the new residents there.
Quite the entry to Texas.
Yeah. Here's another musical, I don't know, maybe legend isn't the right word, but certainly, you know, superstar. Peter Cetera is 79 years old today. Of course, people know him from Chicago and then going on to a very successful solo career.
You are my love and my life. You are my inspiration.
Peter Cetera's birthday today. We already mentioned Mel Torme was born on this day in 1925. Singer Fiona Apple is 46 years old today. Do you remember on this day, Melissa, in 2009, when Taylor Swift won Best Female Video at the MTV Video Music Awards and Kanye West came up on stage and took away her microphone?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that moment in pop music history saying something like, you know, you were great, but Beyonce deserved the award instead for her Single Ladies video. And that's, you know, up until that moment, millions of Americans said, who the hell is Kanye West? And now all these years later, people ask themselves, why the hell is Kanye West still a thing? But apparently he's still out there, you know, making trouble. One Direction fan. Yes? No?
No.
No? I didn't think I was either. And then I realized that there were these songs on the radio that I was kind of tapping my toe along to. And I'm like, hey, I like this song and I like that song. Who are they? Come to find out, it's, you know, One Direction. And Niall Horan from One Direction is 30 years old today.
Wow.
We're only getting older, baby. And I've been thinking about it lately. Does it ever drive you crazy? Just how fast the night changes everything that you've ever dreamed of.
So there you go. God, 30. He's 30, and I'm sure all those One Direction fans are like, oh my gosh, he's getting so old now.
Well, so are they.
Well, so are they. Guess what? Every one of us is a day older than we were. So did you get through Labor Day week all right and the end of summer? Any other plans, or is it all just pumpkin spice and getting ready for Christmas from this point on?
Oh, getting ready for Christmas? Why'd you say that already, Pat?
Because the Halloween decorations are up. The Christmas stuff can't be far away, right?
I suppose. I mean, people are buying mums. It's pumpkin spice and apple and squash season. So it's a fun time of year.
You have anything?
I get to wear sweaters again.
Well, yes. In fact, yeah, this is the first long sleeve shirt that I've worn doing the show in months. broke out a sweatshirt yesterday that I hadn't worn in some time. So
I actually wrapped up in a blanket this morning. Even it's really? A little chilly in here.
Cold. I was going to say this morning it was 45 degrees at the top of the hour there for you. So
we can't turn the heat on yet. It's a Wisconsin thing. It's got to be like the middle of November before you turn the heat on.
Going to put it off as long as humanly possible.
As possible.
All right, Melissa. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Thanks for coming along. All right. When we come back, we will have Tara Johnson in our next hour, candidate for Congress in the 3rd District, and so much more just ahead on this Wednesday on Up North News Radio. There we go.
Oh, all right.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.